Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A terrific Tuesday to you. It is February the 15th, 2022, and this is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Why don't you call in right now? 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Or you could email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Great place to send your show ideas, questions that you might have. And you can also, of course, follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is as follows, at Cale Clark Show, a.k.a. the Producer Lucas shadow account. And Producer Lucas is back today. How you doing, Lucas?
Hey, Cale. What's up?
Just chilling, man. Just having a national radio show. And so are you. You're part of it as well.
That's cool.
And all of you are part of it. So call in 888-914-9149. Well, one thing that we talked about yesterday, of course, Rich Gannon was on the show yesterday, former NFL MVP. A broadcaster on Sirius XM NFL Radio. What an incredible interview that was. I encourage you to go check that out. If you missed the show, you can check the podcast. We also talked about the most untrue love story of all on Valentine's Day, the alleged relationship between Mary Magdalene and Jesus. Told you about why that's bogus, why people think that's a thing. We debunked that. And with respect to the Super Bowl, one thing that came up a couple of days ago, and this is something that I was asked to expand upon a little bit by listeners, because I kind of casually mentioned a few days ago that I used to work at a casino. That's part of my backstory. A lot of people are like, what? You know, tell me about that. And this kind of brings up the question, is gambling wrong? Is gambling sinful? We just came off one of the two biggest gambling events of the entire year, which was, of course, the Super Bowl. And we're about to get into the second biggest gambling event of the year, March Madness. So we're kind of in between those two things right now. And these days you can bet on just about anything. Before the Super Bowl, I saw a little special with Peyton and Eli. Peyton Manning, his brother Eli, of course, Super Bowl champions themselves. Each of them won two Super Bowls. And now, of course, they're doing this alternative Monday Night Football broadcast. And very funny guys. They've been renewed for a few more seasons. Love their show. Love their program. And they did a little bit on Super Bowl bets. You could bet on anything. You can do prop bets on almost anything with respect to the game. How long the national anthem is going to be. And it really, really depends on how long they stretch out, you know, in the land of the free, you know, so anyways, you can time that out. You can bet on who's going to win the kickoff. You can bet on who's going to make the first turnover. You can bet on just about anything. And you can even combine bets, like, you know, will Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks score more points in a game, in a given NBA game that night than the Bengals will score in the Super Bowl, that sort of thing. So, and the NFL has embraced gambling to a certain extent, which is a little bit troubling. I'll talk about that in a bit. But I want to tell you about my story working at the casino, because this might shed a little bit of light on this question of whether or not this is sinful. And I'll give you the church perspective on this as well, which is important because, you know, my opinion doesn't really count for too much. But the church's mind is kind of the definitive word on this. So I worked at a casino in my early 20s, and this was in Nova Scotia. I grew up in Nova Scotia. I was born in Halifax, Nova Scotia. If you've ever been there, it's a beautiful city. And I grew up in kind of a suburb of Halifax called Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia. And if you're a hockey fan, you know that that's the hometown of Sidney Crosby from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I get this question a lot. No, I don't know the guy. Never met him. I can't get you an autographed stick or cash or anything like that. So don't even try. I wish I knew the guy. I love Sid. I think he's fantastic. But in Halifax, a casino moved in. The Sheraton Corporation had a waterfront property and a hotel there. Really nice spot, good real estate. And they decided to bring in a casino. And there had never been a casino in the province of Nova Scotia before. And there was this huge job fair that they set up. And I was kind of looking for work at the time. And And there was this huge job fair, and me and my friends decided to go to it and apply. Why not? And at the time, I had left the Catholic Church. I just kind of gotten out of university. I had left the Catholic Church before I went to university, just kind of became an agnostic, was kind of drifting, spiritually searching. And I've told you a bit of that story before. I came back to Christ when I was at university in the United States doing at Illinois State University, campus ministers, Protestant ministers, Baptist ministers, actually fundamentalist Baptist ministers were knocking on the doors of students, got into this huge conversation with them. One thing led to another. And they answered a lot of my questions about Christ, convinced me of the reality of Jesus, but they told me you got to get out of the Catholic Church. And I wasn't very well versed in my Catholic faith at the time. I was kind of a Sino Catholic in name only. And they told me, well, you know, Catholics worship Mary. They worship a piece of bread. And you know, I just never really checked it out from the Catholic perspective and wound up getting into the Protestant world. So I moved back home, moved back to Canada, to Nova Scotia at the time. Of course, I live in Toronto now. But I'd gotten involved with this evangelical church. I was really kind of liking it. It was a church plant. This guy, Pastor Mike, had started this church. At the time, it was meeting in the school cafeteria. Didn't have its own building, but I somehow got invited to this thing. Really liked what they were doing, and I was kind of hanging out there. And I decided to go to the job fair for the casino. And when I went there with my friends, the lineup was all the way around the block. I mean, there were I would say probably 2,000 people in the lineup. I thought, there's no way I'm going to get a job anyways. And when I was on my way in there, I was kind of in the lineup. I did see some people protesting. There's some protest signs out there. We're all very familiar with protesters for all kinds of different reasons in these times. And there were a group of people protesting the casino. And they were saying, this is sinful, this is wrong, it shouldn't be here, yada, yada, yada. It's going to be detrimental to society, all that sort of thing. And I kind of was scratching my head. Gee, I wonder why they think this. And well, lo and behold, believe it or not, I somehow got hired. I was one of the lucky few. There's only a couple hundred jobs available. And I started out very humbly. I was working in the parking lot, kind of parking cars. And then I got bumped up, because they obviously saw my incredible potential. They bumped me up to the marketing team. The in-house marketing team. Now, I'd studied marketing for my undergrad, so it was kind of my in there. And we were doing promotional stuff in the casino. And I remember when we were being trained, some guys from Vegas actually came in to train us. And I remember they're kind of showing us around the casinos, they're building it, they're putting in the slot machines. And they told us, hey, don't be surprised once the casino opens. Don't be surprised if you actually... Now, there's really no delicate way to put this. It's pretty indelicate, so I'm just going to say it. They said, don't be surprised if you see people actually kind of going to the bathroom like pooping their pants at the slot machines. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That is absolutely gross. Like, what do you mean? Because people will get so entranced, they'll get so hooked on the slot machines, they will not want to get up and leave, even to go to the bathroom. And I said, well, maybe that happens in Vegas. It's not going to happen here. We're much too refined for this. Well, folks, I saw it happen twice, you know, when I was on shift, you know, that I can remember. So it did happen. The reason why is because the way it kind of works is with these slot machines, eventually the thing is going to blow. Like if you pull the handle enough times, you're going to hit the jackpot. So if you've been sitting there working that machine for like hours, let's say you've got a bucket of coins there and you're just like, you know, feeding that machine, pumping that slot machine arm, you don't want to like leave, get up, go to the bathroom or get a drink and then have the next guy come in, pulls it one time, boom, 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 jackpot. You know, you've done all the hard work. So that's the thing. They don't want to leave. And so I was pretty shocked that this kind of happened. And I also got to know some of the psychological tricks of the casino. So for example, maybe you've been to a casino, maybe you haven't, but whatever casino you go into, there's never any windows, there's never any clocks. And there's a reason for that. They don't want you to know what time of day. If you come in during the daytime, they don't want you to know that it's now evening. They don't want you to know how long you've been there for. They don't want you to check the time, because the whole thing is set up psychologically to get you to spend as much money as possible. And I remember when people would actually lose at card games. And I remember one of they call them the pit bosses. These are guys who kind of, you know, manage the card tables, like where people play blackjack and stuff like that. And there's this guy named Miguel. And I remember him saying, there's this one lady who was complaining that she lost or something. And he said, "Mom," he had this, you know, foreign accent. He said, "Mom, this is a casino, not a charity. And to misquote the movie, The Hunger Games, the odds are not ever in your favor. They're not. They're always in the house's favor. That it's set up. The odds are tilted for the house to win. It's a money-making enterprise for sure. And some people think they can, you know, beat the system. And I guess if you're a good card player, maybe you can. But I saw some pretty crazy things there. And I didn't see a problem with it in the beginning because it was packaged as entertainment. Hey, this is just another entertainment choice. Some people choose to spend their entertainment dollars on going to shows. Some people go to the movies, whatever. Some people go to sporting events. This is just another entertainment choice. And I kind of bought into that at the beginning, but this is just me talking. This is just my personal opinion. After a while, I started thinking, you know, there's nothing entertaining about losing your money. But at the end of the day, money has nothing to do with it. Why people go to these places? Now, and I'll tell you that. So, some of the things that I saw happen there. True story. One time, I saw a wife literally beating her husband over the head with a shoe because he had lost all of their rent money at the slot machines. I found that the vast majority of people that were there really couldn't afford to be there. Really couldn't afford to lose any money. They're kind of looking for the quick hitter, the quick fix, the get rich quick kind of situation. And one of the things I found out is that people who get addicted to gambling, and I'm going to be sharing with you in just a few minutes, a really fascinating inside look at a gambling call center, help. If you're a problem gambler, who do you call? And I'm going to give you an inside scoop from the inside of one of these call centers, what actually happens. I think you'll find that psychologically fascinating. But the people who get addicted to gambling, what do you actually get addicted to at the end? It has nothing to do with money. At the end of the day, it has absolutely zero to do with money. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call if you have a take on this. So what do you actually get addicted to? It's actually the adrenaline rush that you get when you win. Because let's say you hit the jackpot on the slots. The lights start going off. The bells start dinging. Ding, 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 ding. You know, there's confetti, whatever. And I had to do this. This was part of my job. I'd come in there with a Polaroid camera, and I'd take the person's picture, you know, give them the picture. We put it in a nice little card, a little frame. They come out with a phony check, you know, the big fake, you know, cardboard, massive check. You're a winner. You know, they give you a special cap. And what people get addicted to in the end is the feeling of winning. You know, it's a dopamine hit to the brain. That's what you crave. And people will do anything to get that feeling. They'll go into debt. They'll just make terrible, terrible financial choices. So anyways, that's what I think happens there. And again, the church does kind of not necessarily condemn this, and I'll talk about this in just a minute. But I got out of it, and one of the reasons why I left it, I began to get a little bit uncomfortable with this whole thing from a spiritual perspective. And like I said, at the time, I was going to this evangelical church. The pastor's name was Pastor Mike. He's a great guy, great dude. I learned so much from this guy. I learned stuff that I still use today. I mean, he was just a great communicator, really sincere guy. Love this guy so much. And he never condemned me. He never condemned me for working at the casino. Now, in the Protestant world, a lot of Protestants, a lot of evangelicals would definitely frown upon casinos, gambling of any kind. It's a little bit of a different perspective in the Catholic community. Think about church bingo, right? And I'll get into the whole bingo controversy too. Don't worry about that. I will bring that up because a lot of times we as Catholics get hit, you know, with questions about that from non-Catholic friends. Hey, why do you guys have bingo nights? Isn't that gambling? Isn't this condemned by God? That sort of thing. So Pastor Mike never to his credit, he never kind of called me on the carpet about it. And maybe it's because he thought it's not really going to work with this guy if I kind of So I'm sure he was praying for me, but one time I asked him about it. I was just kind of getting really uncomfortable in my spirit about this. And I asked him, I said, Pastor Mike, do you think that gambling is wrong? Do you think that working at the casino is wrong? And he said this. He said, well, I think gambling, this whole industry, kind of plays on an inherent weakness of human beings, which is the temptation to fall for the love of money, right? And this is what the Bible condemns. And a lot of people misquote this. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. A lot of people misquote this. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow on the Faith Explained program, because right now we're talking about stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. This is kind of what we're going to be judged on at the end of our lives. Were we good stewards of the time, the talents, and the treasures? And we all have some that God has entrusted to us. So we're kind of doing a series on that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow on the Faith Explained at 12:30 Central, so you can check that out or check out the podcast. But a lot of people misquote the Bible on this, and they say that the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. And that's actually not what it says. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And it leads to people making terrible choices and piercing their heart with many griefs, with many sorrows. And that's certainly the case. And so Pastor Mike told me, just like advertisers will often use lust, you know, wanton sexuality to try to sell products and services, in the same way the gambling industry kind of plays on this love of money that some people have. And I was thinking about that. And then he said to me this. He said, hey, Cale, next time you're at the casino, I want you to look up this guy named Fletcher and say hi for me. And so I know Fletcher. He's one of the big managers at the casino. He's kind of the big marketing honcho. And he said, yeah, I used to know Fletcher years ago when we were kids, when we were teenagers. We were in the same youth group together at church. I said, you got to be kidding me. This was in another city. It was far away. And he said, yeah, I heard he was here. I heard he was working at the casino. Just tell him that I said hi. And so that's what I did. I found this guy, Fletcher. And when I told him, you know, this guy, Mike, I told him his last name. I said, do you remember this guy, Fletcher? And he said, when I mentioned this guy's name, his face turned ashen. Like I thought he was going to pass out. And I thought it was a really strange reaction, because to me, it was almost like he was flashing back in his mind to a time that had gone by, to a time when, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but it was almost like a time when he was actually close to God. And he was like, yeah, we were in the same church youth group together when we were kids. And so I said, well, he's a pastor now. He's my pastor. He actually wants to invite you over for dinner, you know, you and your family. And so I kind of connected the two of them. And Fletcher went over to Pastor Mike's house. They had a nice dinner together. And one of the things that he told Pastor Mike that evening at dinner, and this was repeated to me later, he said, you know, if Cale sticks with the casino, if he sticks with his company, he's going to have a really, really bright future. And that got relayed to me. And, I'm sure it was meant as a compliment, but it actually scared the heck out of me, because I thought, is this what I want to do with my life? Is this what I want to promote? Is this what I want to market? And I could turn into this guy, Fletcher. You know, to me, it was a scary thought. It was a terrifying thought. And that's when I knew I had to get out. That's when God kind of spoke to me, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you need to get out of this right now. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. What does the Catholic Church teach about this? What does it teach about gambling? Well, we're going to talk about this after the break. 888-914-9149. Stick with me. Be right back. It's The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149. It's a toll-free studio line to call. 888-914-9149. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And I just told before the break my story about how I used to work at a casino, and I became very convicted that this is not the path for me, that I didn't want to be associated with gambling, kind of walked away from it. and a potentially promising career in the gaming industry. And I know producer Lucas was shocked. He had never heard this before. You've seen The Secret Life of Pets. This is kind of like The Secret Life of Kale. And even my wife called me. I didn't know this. No, I'm only kidding. No, she knows about this. The staff are taking prop bets on how many people are going to, you know, call from Vegas. We have a lot of relevant radio listeners in Vegas. I actually would be very curious to hear about our listeners in Vegas, their take on this. And so, Lucas, I didn't mean to shock you. I didn't mean to shock you with
I'm
this.
Just,
but...
I'm continuing to learn new things about you, Kale, this past life. It's interesting.
But and I have to tease you about this, Lucas, as well, because you're a big Miami Dolphins fan. And the whole controversy with Coach Brian Flores filing this big 58-page lawsuit against the Miami Dolphins and against the league for not only discriminatory hiring practices, and that's troubling unto itself, but one of the things that really shocked people in this suit is that he is alleging that Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross was trying to pay him off to the tune of $100,000 per game that he lost in the 2019 season. In other words, trying to get the Dolphins to tank on purpose so that they could get a better draft pick in the upcoming draft of the next year. And so yet another reason why the Dolphins make you cry, Lucas, is who he's saying about. Sometimes you're crazy, then you wonder why. I'm such a baby,
yep. Well, this song has a deep resonance these days.
it just keeps getting more real. Yes. And but this is incredibly troubling because, and obviously this is something that pro sports. Let me just do a little sidebar rant here for a second. Ever since the Shoeless Joe Jackson scandal, which was known as the Black Sox scandal in 1919, the Chicago White Sox threw the World Series because of gamblers, you know, all kinds of pressure. Did Shoeless Joe actually participate in it? That's what the movie Eight Men Out was all about. If you remember that one, Say It Ain't So, Joe, all that stuff. So there's always, ever since that moment, there's always been, you know, sort of a strict separation, almost like church and state. You know, we can't have gambling. People have always bet on games illegally, but now that it's become more legal, it's become so widespread. Companies like DraftKings, it's all over the place. And the NFL has kind of embraced this. And so here's the big conflict of interest. Stephen Ross, who owns the Dolphins, is involved financially with an online betting group that could potentially take bets on NFL games. Conflict of interest much? I mean, so at the Super Bowl press conference that he held, Commissioner Roger Goodell last week during Super Bowl week on Wednesday fielded a lot of questions about this. And he said unequivocally that if the allegations are proven to be true, that Stephen Ross was trying to pay off Brian Flores to tank, to pay him $100,000 for every game that he lost that season, that he could lose the team. And he should lose the team if that's true. There's no competitive integrity there if that's the case. And so that's a pretty big story. Would his fellow billionaire owners turn on him and vote that he relinquished the team for the integrity of the game? That'll be interesting to see. But and I remember seeing some ESPN personalities, Booger McFarland and Dan Orlovsky. They were talking when the story broke, and they remember seeing games in that 2019 Dolphins season where they didn't feel like, there's one particular Monday night game between the Steelers and the Dolphins where it did not look like the Dolphins were making a professional effort in their eyes. And they kind of questioned, like, is something going on here? Now, Flores, to his credit, seems to have integrity, and he almost got that team into the playoffs. I mean, they won a lot of games at the end of the year that I'm sure was kind of upsetting to Stephen Ross if these allegations are true. The other thing that happened, by the way, just another side story, is that in the lawsuit, it also refers to a time when Stephen Ross invited Flores to come to his yacht in Miami, meet with him. And it just so happened that a quarterback who was under contract to another team at the time just happened to stop by. Oh, hi, Stephen, how you doing? Can I come onto the yacht? Well, it was obviously a prearranged meeting. And so the idea was that Stephen Ross wanted Flores to try to woo this quarterback to come play for the Dolphins. Now, Flores knew the league rules. It would be considered tampering under league rules to be kind of romancing a player under contract to another team at the time. So he actually walked off the boat. He apparently left the meeting, said, I'm out of here. This is wrong. I'm gone. So who was that quarterback? Well, there's a lot of speculation that was Tom Brady. I don't know. Nobody's really confirmed this. A lot of people, a lot of rumors, a lot of innuendo about this because at the time Tom Brady was under contract to the Patriots. Would he really have gone to the Dolphins, to an in-division rival? Wow, that would have been a real, a finger in the eye of Coach Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. How upset was he with the Patriots at the time to be able to do that? Well, at the end of the day, of course, he went to Tampa. But anyways, so this is kind of the stuff that can go on. And when it comes to gambling, what does the church actually say about this? And if you have a take, if you have an experience with this, call in 888-914-9149. Mary, I see you there, Mary. Don't hang up. I'm going to get your call in just a second. But I just want to run this by you guys because the church does have an official teaching on this, which I want to share with you. And believe it or not, there is, in fact, a paragraph in the catechism about this. And I find it really interesting where this paragraph resides, because as you know, the catechism is arranged by paragraph numbers. So if you see, for example, a reference to CCC 2413, that means Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2413. And that's a paragraph I'm going to read to you, coincidentally enough. And it's not by chance. We're talking about games of chance. Well, this paragraph is all about games of chance. And by the way, it's really interesting where this is in the catechism, as I said. It's actually in the section on the Ten Commandments, and it's in the section on the commandment, do not steal, the commandment against stealing. That's fascinating unto itself. Well, this will all make sense to you when I read it to you. It says, paragraph 2413 of the catechism, games of chance, card games, etc., or wagers, are not in themselves contrary to justice. They become morally unacceptable when they deprive someone of what is necessary to provide for his needs and those of others. The passion for gambling risks becoming an enslavement. Unfair wagers and cheating at games constitute grave matter, unless the damage inflicted is so slight that the one who suffers it cannot reasonably consider it significant. Okay, so if you did cheat your little brother in a card game at home, that would probably be, that's not grave matter, don't worry about that. I'm not a moral theologian, but I'm pretty confident in saying that this would be a case of the damage inflicted being so slight that the one who suffers it cannot reasonably consider it significant. However, that's not the case all the time. So if there is actual money at stake, people's livelihoods at stake, and this game of chance, if you've got a weighted dice, you know, playing craps or something like that at a casino, that is grave matter. So I found that kind of interesting because, again, a lot of Protestant Christians would say that gambling is inherently sinful, but the catechism says that games of chance or wagers, bets, if you will, are not in themselves contrary to justice, but they can become morally unacceptable when it says they deprive someone of what is necessary to provide for his needs and those of others. And I think that's why this paragraph is under the section on stealing, because remember the case I told you about a few minutes ago where there was this wife and husband coming out of the casino and she's literally beating the guy over the head with her purse, with her shoe, because he's lost all their money for the week. There's no rent money. There's no more grocery money. So that's, in a sense, stealing. It's depriving that family of what was necessary for their needs and maybe their kids. I don't know if they had any. But that's where this becomes a problem. And as it says in the catechism, the passion for gambling risks becoming an enslavement. And it can easily become that. I've seen that. People get addicted to that high. They get addicted to the rush. And that can be a problem. And then the question is, how do you get out of this? How do you get out of this? I'm going to talk about that in just a second, but I want to go to the phones first because a lot of you guys are calling in right now. 888-914-9149 is the studio line. Let's go to Mary in Teaneck, New Jersey. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Cale. I love your show.
The gambling habit
that one of my family members had, it was the worst thing that could happen to the family. They keep borrowing money that they can't pay back. And then even if they win and win big, they put it all back and plus more. And it causes the family it causes such dissension in the family. And it was the worst thing that happened to us. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I foolishly lent the money to the family member and I thought I would be paid back. I was told flat out that She would not pay me back. It was thousands of dollars, and it's just the worst thing. And the house never loses because, like I said, even if they win, they play it back. It was my mother. She won $25,000 and then another time $10,000. All went back, plus thousands more. It was horrible. And I thought that she had debts to pay off. That's the reason why I lent her the money. But it was just a ruse. And Bishop Fulton Sheen said that women gamble because they have a problem. And when they stand in front of that slot machine, the problem seems to go away. But then when they go home, there's the problem. Because she said that whenever she stood in front of the machines, she didn't think about anything. She just concentrated on the gambling. It was the worst thing that happened to the family. The fights were endless. It was terrible. It destroyed the family.
Yeah, Mary, thank you for sharing that. That's definitely the dark side of the industry. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of people simply can't handle this because the temptation is too great. And they wind up becoming somebody that they never intended to be in the first place. Mary, I thank you for your call. God bless you. And thanks for listening to the program, for your very, very kind words as well. So that was a great call from Mary in Teaneck, New Jersey. Well, I want to tell you real quick what the Bible actually says about this. Now, I gave you the catechism take on this. And here's what the Bible says about this. Now, the Bible doesn't actually condemn gambling. It's not actually, nothing like gambling is mentioned, although, of course, we do have instances of people casting lots for the garments of Christ at the cross, something like that, okay? So it is mentioned, but it's not specifically condemned. But the Bible does warn us about, as I said earlier, the love of money. And this is that great quote from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. And I don't think anybody would deny that. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And our last caller talked about that, the pain that came to that family because of it. We could also look at the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So very often the covetousness, you know, and the greed that can pop up is something we always have to be on guard for. And not just in terms of this, in terms of money, but in terms of other items as well. Stuff. You can't take it with you. When the hearse goes to the parish with your coffin in it, there's not going to be a U-Haul. And this is, you know, you've probably heard many sermons about this at the back, you know, with all your stuff in it. You can't take it with you. And again, tomorrow I'll talk about this on the Faith Explained program, how the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity or purity, and obedience, yes, religious, like monks, nuns, and some priests who are involved with these religious orders, they actually have to make these vows, solemn vows. Now, we don't as lay people, but we can still live that out in our own way in the middle of the world. And I think they're important virtues for us to have because poverty, purity, obedience, poverty, chastity, and obedience, it's kind of the antidote to an unbridled desire for money, sex, and power in a bad way. And again, these are things that money is part of God's universe. It's a medium of exchange. And by itself, it's neutral. We can use it for good. We can use it for evil, kind of like the internet. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? And so this is why the love of money is a huge problem. We have to learn how to be good stewards instead. So check out that show tomorrow. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more then. One of the things that the scriptures also tell us about as well, and you can call in, by the way, if you have a take, 888-914-9149. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. One of the things that the scriptures do talk about are sort of attempts to get rich quick. And this is in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 11. Here's what it says. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Whenever I read this verse, I kind of think about lottery winners because very often it's more of a curse than a blessing. If somebody gets a windfall in their life, say they win the lottery, well, they're going to have a whole bunch of new friends that they never knew about. Oh, by the way, can I borrow a few $100,000? And the temptation to spend wildly and make bad choices is ever present. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. So it's not always a blessing. a lot of people can't handle it. They don't have the character to handle it. So it's at best a mixed blessing, and sometimes it's a flat out curse. Proverbs 23 verse 5, chapter 23 verse 5, it says, "When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven." That's often the case. Ecclesiastes, the wise teacher of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." And this is the concept of keeping up with the Joneses. It's never going to be enough. How much is enough? How much is enough? You always want more. And that's part of what we have to fight against all the time. And again, that's why that verse from Hebrews is such a great antidote to that. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So the quick hit, the quick windfall, the lottery win, the pie in the sky that people hope for, some people actually get it, and it's not what they wanted at the end of the day, and they would probably take it back if they could. So part of the issue here with gambling, and this is part of what troubled me when I was working at the casino, is that this kind of replaces the concept of working, for the food on your plate. St. Paul talked about this. His teaching was that if a person doesn't want to work, neither shall they eat. So this idea of providing for yourself, and people want to circumvent that. They want to circumvent work. They want to go around it. They want to do an end around. And that is a problem as well. If you don't get the concept that we were created to work, and work is a blessing. It's not a curse. People think it's a result of the fall. It's not. Work was there before sin came into the world in the Garden of Eden. The job of Adam was to do two things, to till and to keep the garden. That was his job, and he really wasn't doing his job. That's how the serpent got in, kind of slipped in. Well, he wasn't paying attention. And so, at any rate, that's some of the things that Scripture has to say about it. And I think what the Catechism was trying to get at in saying that it's not necessarily intrinsically evil is that if you can't afford it, then it could be seen as one form of entertainment, just like going to a movie might be seen as a waste of money to some people, or going to a football game, or paying for cable or something like that. Eating a great steak at a restaurant. Did you really need to spend that much money on the porterhouse steak? So it is a little bit in the eye of the beholder. I totally understand that. And people can spend a lot of money on some things, and sometimes they spend money that they really don't have, and they go into debt. Not necessarily a good thing. And so I think it's important for us to be good stewards. And again, like I said, I just think for me, and again, this is not the church talking, this is just me. I think that because of the fact that these addictions can happen so easily, that kind of makes me kind of want to put the caution sign up for this sort of thing. I always see these busloads full of seniors that are taken to local casinos, and they pick them up at shopping malls, busloads full of retirees, and they've got money to spend, and they blow it at the casino. Now, maybe they're having fun, but I'm like, I don't see what's entertaining about losing your money. That's just me. And there is a bit of fun. There's no question. There's that little high that you get. But man, maybe donate to Relevant Radio instead. We can reach the world for Christ. And that's what we've done, by the way. Thanks for helping us out in our pledge drive. Terrible segue there, but you guys really came through. We met our target. So I want to hear more about what you think about this. I also want to give you this inside scoop about what happens when somebody calls a gambling helpline. I think you'll find it fascinating because to me, it speaks for the need for the sacrament of confession. 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show. We'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, call in right now, 888-914-9149. It's our final segment. We're talking about whether or not gambling is sinful. I told you about my former job in a casino. That was news to a lot of you. And we're taking a lot of calls on this as well right now. 888-914-9149. We had an off-air caller, didn't want to come on, but is asking for prayers because her husband gambles a lot. And so we will pray for you, whoever you are. I'll ask all the listeners out there to pray for that situation as well. But we're going to go back to the phones right now. We're going to go to Mike, who's calling from West Covina, California. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say that when I turned 21, I moved from Newport Beach area. I had a pretty good childhood and stuff. And I got lost in the casino. I mean, I thought I was really walking with the Lord, which I was. But the problem was I went into this environment all cocky and arrogant, high-minded. And I got lost. It was offered to me. My brother-in-law is the manager. I'm just about to turn 21. I'll live with my half-sister and brother-in-law. And I ended up working at this casino not far from the Horseshoe downtown. Okay. And so bottom line was I became the worst gambler out of 700 employees. Wow. I never missed an advance on my paycheck. All I thought about was gambling. By the time I was done and got fired from the casino because I was that bad.
Wow. Are you still there, Mike?
Still about 2 years ago at 60 years old. I was 21 when I did this, working in this casino for 2.5 years. All I can think of was to get that money back. Even when I would win, even when I won a few thousand dollars about 2.5 years ago off a scratcher. I won $20 bill, a scratcher for $3,000. And all I can think of was, oh, gosh, why couldn't it have been more? I'm still thinking of all that money on tens of thousands of dollars that I lost, what, maybe $25,000 over 2.5 years.
Wow.
At 21 years old, that was a lot of money in 82, 83,
Absolutely.
84. Yeah. So, you know, the book of Nehemiah in the Bible says, be sure your sin finds you out. You know, talk about confession. That's and the thing about the gambling is it becomes very personalized in an extremely negative way because there's all these secrets. There's all these secrets from the cars that I've lost. There's all these secrets from not letting family members know, wanting to let anybody know how bad off a gambler I am. Now we're to have godly convictions in our heart. Of course, the Bible says that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, but I'm supposed to be doing things, and I'm supposed to be, now the Bible says that as a man thinketh, so he becomes, and out of the heart flows the issues of life. Well, it occurred to me a little over a year ago that if I don't do things that usher in godly convictions, principled convictions into my heart, and what's going to happen is I'm going to have unprincipled, ungodly convictions in my heart that's going to overflow into ungodly images and ungodly thoughts and arrangements of words, and that's going to overflow into ungodly emotions and feelings, and that's going to overflow into the sin nature and drown out the divine nature.
Yeah, Mike, let me jump in there, because that's an excellent call, and you made a lot of great points there, and what you're saying there kind of made me think, and maybe Producer Lucas, you could look this up for me just while I'm talking right here. I remember reading a quote from George Washington, of all people. We talked about gambling and that sort of thing in his day, and how it leads to a lot of other proximate vices. I mean, think about Las Vegas itself, right? It's called Sin City for a reason. There's a lot of stuff that goes on there that people think, well, if it happens in Vegas, it stays in Vegas, but God knows everything. And a lot of there just tends to be a lot of other things around games of chance that are unsavory and can lead you into a whole host of other types of sin. And I think Mike's call also is a great opportunity for me to jump into this. I just want to share this quick anecdote with you, because Ryan Hawkinsmith, who I think is one of the best writers out there right now, writing for ESPN, talked about what it's like inside a gambling helpline. Specifically, this one worker by the name of Caitlin Brown, and she works for the CCPG helpline, and that is the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling in that state. So there's a helpline there, and I just want to read this to you because I think it's fascinating on several levels. This is Ryan Hawkinsmith writing here. He says, Caitlin Brown's work cell phone has an obscenely loud ringtone. And when it goes off during the day, it routinely startles her and her 2-year-old daughter, Amelia. The phone is always there, on the counter in front of her, on the couch beside her, even on the changing table if there's a new diaper necessary. In early December, her phone rings and shows a caller ID that sends her rushing to pick up as soon as humanly possible. It says CCPG helpline. So Caitlin Brown is 36 years old, is the exact person you want answering a problem gambling helpline. She's a licensed counselor for drug, alcohol, and gambling addiction. She's a 14-year veteran who's worked in addiction services, including the past 5 years at the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling. As a little girl, she attended 12-step meetings with her dad as he tried to get sober. He did. And has seen the ravages of addiction elsewhere in her family, too. She's hesitant to talk about herself, but she has the perfect blend of empathy and fierceness to deal with people struggling with addiction. The incoming call today is from someone who reached out to Connecticut's version of what many states now have, a toll-free helpline for people who think they might have a gambling problem. Like other states that have rushed to legalize sports betting since the Supreme Court struck down a federal ban in May of 2018, Connecticut is in the middle of a giant spike in both the volume of calls and the number of callers who specifically mention sports gambling as a part of their problem. On this December day, Caitlin Brown grabs her phone and answers with her standard greeting, "Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling Helpline, can I help you?" The man gives his name, and she can't provide that personal information, so let's call him Mike. And that's in the article, by the way. It's no reference to the last caller. And he says he's in his early 20s. Last October, as soon as Connecticut legalized sports gambling, Mike downloaded the FanDuel app and started betting. And now he says he can't stop. He says it's just so easy now, 10 seconds away on his phone. He blew through thousands of dollars that his parents thought were going towards college. The man, like so many of the younger callers Brown talks to these days, says he dabbles in cryptocurrency and day trading too. He says, quote, "I can't tell my parents about any of this. I can't talk to anybody about it. What do I do?" Caitlin Brown listens to Mike explain his situation. Then she begins running through a checklist that she helped create for the state of Connecticut. She first asks Mike if he is considering harming himself or someone else. Compared with other addictions, studies have shown that problem gamblers are much more likely to attempt suicide or have suicidal thoughts. "No," Mike says. Then she works her way through options. Her main goal isn't to diagnose, it's to funnel people towards the right next step. Sometimes people want help locating a Gamblers Anonymous meeting. Sometimes people are desperate to get sent to treatment, which Caitlin Brown can often do for them within 24 hours. Sometimes callers aren't gamblers themselves, but are worried about a friend or a loved one who might have a problem. Data collected by Connecticut shows that the average problem gambler directly impacts 9 other people. So Mike is one of the many callers who is contemplating for the first time whether he might have a gambling problem. She gets a few calls a week like this where the person on the other end has never said that out loud to another person. Helpline callers often don't want to give their name, but then they proceed to tell the most intimate, truthful version of their life story that they've ever put into words. Gambling is tricky for others to see, and it's considered a hidden addiction. You can't smell sports betting on someone's breath or find them passed out on the bathroom floor from a gambling overdose. In studies, problem gamblers report much higher rates of feeling like they're living secret lives and having more shame than with other addictions. That's the case with Mike. He says he's scared, and he asks questions about whether he might have a problem. Callers regularly want someone on the other end of the line to give them an answer about whether they do or do not have a problem. But gambling counselors like Caitlin Brown shy away from that. There are a few cardinal rules that problem gambling counsels adhere to. One is that they take no position for or against gambling itself. And secondly, they won't declare you to be an addict. Caitlin Brown says, quote, "I never tell somebody they have a gambling problem. It's up to that person to decide if they have a problem." So at the end of the day, they have this conversation. Caitlin Brown talks to Mike and he says, "I don't think I need a referral right now. But what I am going to do is I'm going to delete all the gambling apps on my phone." He doesn't want any more information than that. And she says, "But if you change your mind and you want someone to talk to, you can call me directly." So that story that's told by Ryan Hawkinsmith writing for ESPN, I thought was fascinating, because really what's going on there is this is kind of the confessional in a certain sense without the sacrament. And so I think that if somebody comes from a Catholic background and they're struggling with this, I think one of the best things you can do is to go to confession. If you have this addiction, it is a safe place. Obviously there's the confessional seal, and this is where you can get some help and not just counseling. And you might need actual professional counseling on this. So I encourage people out there, if you think you have a problem and you're listening right now, to please go and get that. But you're going to get not only your sins forgiven, but you're going to get spiritual help on your journey to try to break this addiction. You're going to get help from heaven for your will, for your soul, that you can make the next right choice going forward. And that is so needed. That is so needed right now. And I'll just close with this too. Today is the feast day of Saint Claude de Colombier. And a lot of people don't know who that is. He was a priest who was the confessor, the spiritual confessor of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, who of course had these visions of Christ and really got the Sacred Heart devotion going again. And he didn't believe her at first as her confessor. And he said, "Right, listen, the next time you talk to Jesus, ask him, what was my last mortal sin that I confessed?" And she said, "Okay, I'll ask him." So she came back and said, "Oh, I talked to Jesus." "Oh, really? What did he say? What was my last mortal sin?" And she said, "Jesus told me, I don't remember. I don't remember. I've thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness, as the scripture says." And so that's when he knew that she was really hearing from the Lord. So I encourage everybody to do that. We've run out of time for this hour, but we can pick this up again tomorrow. Nick, Carlo, call back tomorrow. Sorry we didn't get to you. We ran out of time. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I think it was an important topic to talk about, though. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alog took your calls. We'll see you tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.